Good evening. The time is now 5:09 PM. The Warwick Finance Committee is now open. May I have a motion to accept the minutes for the committee meeting held May 6th?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We are now on to PCR 52-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have an acceptance for the minutes on the bid package committee meeting held on May 6th?
Move acceptance.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number one is bid 2024-341, traffic safety camera program. Per request of the administration as well as the council, we respectfully request that a motion be made to hold until June 17th,  2024. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Councilman, you need a PCR on that.
Need a PCR, she says.
Thank you. May I have a PCR?
It's PCR 5524.
Is it 5524?
5524.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll do another vote just for clarity of the record.
I move to hold PCR 5524.
Second.
Until June 17th, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is bid 2024-418, Warwick Lead Service Line Replacements. Good afternoon, Director, if you could identify. Good evening, Director.
Good evening, Terry DiPietrillo, Chief of Water. So the EPA has required all cities and towns throughout the United States to replace lead services by October 2024. If not, we have to supply these homes with whole house filters. We're fortunate enough that we only have roughly, give or take, 200 that we identified. We did an audit.
I'm going to ask you just to speak up, Director. Thank you.
Sorry about that. So we have roughly around 200 to 224 lead services left in the city. We've been very proactive over the years replacing them. So we took money out of reserves to put out a bid to replace every lead service from the water main to the water meter at no cost to the homeowner. We recommended Ferrari Construction. They came in the lowest qualified bidder, $1.5 million. We had four bidders altogether. Ferrari was the cheapest at $1.5 million.
Thank you. And what is the budgetary line item this is coming out of again, please?
This is going to come out of 84-720, water main maintenance, I believe it is.
Say again?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is actually a new budget code that we put in this fiscal year's budget, 84-720.
And what makes it new? What is it identified as, please?
I believe it's a lead service replacement.
Say that again?
Lead service replacement.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Bid 2023-427, Lincoln Avenue Pipeline Rehabilitation, contract number one. Welcome back, Director. Just please identify for the record.
Terry DiPietrillo, Chief of Water.
You have the floor.
So this is bid 446, correct? 2024-46?
This is bid 427, Lincoln Avenue Pipeline Rehabilitation.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so this is a change order. So this project, we have phase one and phase two. We got a federal grant of $4 million with a 20% match from the city. Originally, phase one was going from the Patuxent River to the Lincoln Ave Salt Shed, the state salt shed on Jefferson Boulevard. But as the company mobilized and started doing their work, they started at Jefferson Boulevard going towards the river. So as this project went on, we didn't have any accurate records of when this pipeline was put in. We estimated around 1959, just before the highway was put in. But as we were doing construction, we unearthed some of the pipe, and it was stamped, made in France, 1928. So that's the reason why the pipe broke, because it was 100 years old. So as we're at the salt station, the biggest part of this is we have lines running on the Route 95, the exit ramps, north and 95 north and south, and Route 37 east and west. So I got together with the engineers and the contractor. I said, how much would the city save if we went from the salt shed to Lincoln Avenue on the Route 37 while you're already mobilized here? They came up with an estimate to, you know, between mobilization, demobilization, and we can skip an engineering study. We would in environmental permits anywhere between 100 and 250. So we're talking at least $100,000 savings. My biggest thing was our main objective is to get these pipelines, because the pipe is so old, onto the highways, completely restored. So the change order for $606,000, and that will take care of from the Patuxent River all the way to Lincoln Avenue, and we don't have to worry about the safety of travelers on the highways.
Thank you. And as you said, this contract, including the savings, comes from a portion of the $4 million state grant.
Federal grant, correct.
Federal grant, sorry. Thank you. So this is not something where we have to put ARPA money into. This is pure 100% grant.
Correct.
Thank you so much. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. As per our earlier conversation, just clarifying and point of emphasis, once you dug this up, you realize those pipes are 1928, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So coming on 100 years old.
Right.
Were they to fail, where they go under the highway, the 37 on and off ramps, there could be a catastrophic failure in the sense that could just open up the grounds in front of a vehicle.
It would be catastrophic. You're talking a 30-inch pipe at 70 PSI that would wipe out the highway, and wouldn't be good.
So this sounds like the most prudent way to go about this project. And in addition, there's a financial savings.
Correct. So our first thing is safety, obviously. But then nominally, we would be saving money, taking that money from phase two while they're already mobilized. It's going to save the city anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hello, Director.
Hello.
So sometimes with a change order of this size, it's always concerning, but the size sometimes makes it even more concerning until I get all the information and the facts. And you've recently updated me with a lot of information about this, such as what you just alluded to this evening. And I certainly understand, and it's easy for me to rationalize what the savings are, particularly with, this is already mobile, it's already ongoing. To let them pull out and come back in 6 months from now or a year from now and have to remobilize all over this entire team, that's extremely expensive. And it's just non-productive when you have another option. And as I look at this, you've presented another option. But especially important is the reasoning for doing it now. And that reasoning that you've expressed was just, I got reassurance the other day in listening to the news where, and I forget what the community was, but they just had a catastrophic failure.
Atlanta.
Of water where is it?
Atlanta.
I think that is it. And this could literally shut down, if not that entire state, a good portion of it. That is a huge, huge issue when we can do something about it right now. So With that said, I will be supporting this change order.
Where, thank you.
Typically, that's not the road that I go on. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Director. Next will be bid 2024-470, purchase of backhoe, skid steer, and mini excavator. Good evening, Purchasing Director. How are you?
Good evening. Christy Moretti, Business Manager, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to purchase a backhoe, skid steer, and mini excavator from Southworth Milton, otherwise known as Milton Cat, in the amount of $338,326.76. And this is under a Sourcewell contract, which is a government contract platform.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments from members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Are these part of the capital budget?
They're actually coming from Waters Capital Fund Capital Improvement Budget Code. So what is going to happen is that Water is going to get new equipment, and they are going to give their older equipment to Highway. Right now, Highway does not have a backhoe or a skid steer that runs at all, and obviously important pieces of equipment for that department. And just the other day, the highway chief, they were working down at the City Park Beach because it had eroded, and there were some issues down there from the storms over the winter, and needed a mini excavator. Water's the only one that has one, and if they're using it, then Highway can't use it. So it makes sense to get the package. So Water will have the new equipment, and they'll give the older equipment to Highway. It's still functional, but it makes sense for Water to have the new equipment only because of the nature of what they do.
Okay, got it. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm just trying to locate these pieces of equipment. Would this be on the 24 capital budget or the 25?
So it's coming out. It's not, you won't find it listed anywhere. It's coming out of 84799, which is a line item in the Water Department, one of their operating budget line items.
Okay. Were these a recent decision? Because usually we get indication on when equipment's being purchased in the capital.
There was discussion between Water and Highway and the needs for equipment, and Highway doesn't have any, I mean, other than front end loaders, which are the largest machines we have, we don't have any smaller equipment that runs to do any of the smaller jobs that we need to do. So Water, like I said, is going to get the new Milton Cat equipment, and then they'll give their smaller equipment to Highway. So both departments have the equipment they need to do the jobs.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Christy.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. The next item is the purchase of one Elgin Pelican Street Sweeper. That is found on page 27. It is bid 2024-471. Good evening.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. The Public Works Department's requesting to purchase one street sweeper. This was approved in ARPA funding in the amount of $294,005 from CN Wood.
Thank you. I will say on the record that I have wonderful neighbors, and one of my neighbors, there are two pet peeves that he has, and he's one of the oldest homeowners in the area, is when Cedar Swamp floods quite a bit, and because the water just kind of piles up, and in certain areas always seem to rip up. And the other thing is that the street sweepers, they go through once, and he feels there ought to be more street sweeping done in the city, because sometimes he'll go down this street. And those are the two things that I hear him yearly and even quarterly, sometimes, you know, bi-yearly, complain about. And that has been his consistent conversation. So seeing this on that we're doing this, I'm very appreciative. With that said, I was very fortunate when I was doing my research to talk to one of your mechanics, and I am sorry I mentioned this because I forgot his name. First of all, he was extremely polite. He was extremely professional and very knowledgeable. And the gentleman explained to me that the street sweeper's average life is, and correct me if I misunderstood, 7 years. And we've had the current street sweeper that we're using for 12 or 14?
The newest one we have is a 2016.
Okay.
The next one that we have, I believe, is a 2006, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we have one that is a 1999 that is just
sure.
inoperable.
And so. He explained to me their job is to sweep up and to spray. So they take garbage and mud and dirt and water, and somehow we keep them going. So when he explained, because I did ask him, and he brought it up, and very knowledgeable gentleman. He was actually taking care of one of the vehicles, our oldest sanitation vehicle, and he was fixing it up while the workers were still out collecting. So I have to say he had the data, he had the numbers. I hit him with the questions. It wasn't a planned appointment,
mm-hmm.
and he explained a lot that I didn't know. So, you know, to the director and to yourself, I just wanted to say he knows the equipment, and
yes.
for that to last as long as I have is 18 years is quite
yes.
astonishing.
We do have an amazing crew
yep.
in the automotive division.
Thank
they,
you.
They keep stuff running like you think that it shouldn't be, but
right.
They
well,
do a
direct
job.
Services to the citizens. That's the one that it counts as, right?
Yes.
So,
well, if they don't work, then nobody else does. So
that's right. That's true. Questions from members of the council? Committee. I'm sorry, members of the committee. Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is bid 2025-053. This is under MIS, found on page 30, Munis Support and Updating Update Licensing. Director.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6, exception to bid to award the Munis Software Maintenance Contract to Tyler Technologies in the amount of $260,000, $612.84. It represents an approximate 4% increase over what we paid last year, which fits the normal or typical, I guess is a better word for it, increase. Other than the cost, there's nothing really remarkable about this that we go through every year, but I will, at the chance of sounding like a broken record, take the opportunity to remind everyone at the latest Tyler conference for Munis, they estimated 2 more years that they will be supporting on-premise software usage like we have. After that, they will only be offering a cloud solution, which is a sizable increase in cost over what we're paying right now. There are benefits to it. Obviously, disaster recovery and the hardware that goes with it and the software support. But net, it's going to be an increase in cost probably in the next 2 years.
Thank you, Director. Councilman Gebhardt.
When it comes time where we'll need to migrate to a cloud solution, would Tyler be our only option, or would we have alternative options in at that time?
There are always alternative options. They are not the only ones who produce the software. The issue we run into is twofold. Number one, in all honesty, they're embedded. These are the processes we know. These are the software, you know, processes we understand. In any migrating from one version to the next of the Tyler product is a significant undertaking for the city. multiply that times 10 if you're actually going from one package to the other. The other issue, besides the fact that it would be a fairly monumental change, is there is no one sitting there saying, oh, well, we're offering this cheap alternative, cloud SaaS, software as a service, is just the standard anymore. For those who, in our parlance, bought the software, pay a maintenance charge each year just to maintain it and get new versions and new upgrades and security patches and everything, and run it on your own hardware, there are very few software companies that are offering that anymore. So I would not, they're not listening, I'm sure. I would not tell Tyler that there are no alternatives. We're certainly, when we hit that point, going to look at all options and try to entice them. I have seen from some other software vendors enticements, financial enticements. One we'll be talking about, I think, at the next meeting, where they're saying, we want you on the cloud so badly, we're going to discount this significantly. I'm kind of hoping that Tyler will get to that point when the need it comes.
So reading between the lines, are you suggesting that in the next 2 years we would put out an RFP for this, you know, city ERP?
I would definitely put one out. I don't think for this kind of money, I don't think it would make sense not to.
Yeah.
I just think we would have to weigh, it could not be a cost decision on cost of ongoing software. It would have to be a cost decision on cost change associated with it.
Yep. Yeah. It'd be interesting to know feedback, like going from Munis on-prem to Munis cloud, is that effectively a new implement, you know, a brand new system anyways? And so do you already have some of that change risk built into that transition, which might make it an opportune time to make maybe a bigger change or not, but at least right. To keep Tyler honest and make, you know, it's an important piece, but obviously it's probably the biggest part of your budget.
It is. And you're absolutely right. It would be a migration. And we'd have to see what that migration is going to cost us.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
The next bid is 2022-021, Assessor's Parcel and Zoning Layer Maintenance, Web GIS Application. This is found on page 36. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan Geegan, Deputy Director, Planning. The Planning and the Assessing Departments are requesting to enter into a contract amendment with the existing vendor for RFP 2022-21, Parcel and Zoning Layer Maintenance and Web GIS Application, which was awarded to CAI Technologies on May 20th, 2021. The amendment being proposed would allow the city to cap the annual cost at the existing rate of $13,000 per year for an additional five-year period for a total expenditure of $65,000 over that period. This would be funded through budget code 25-360, which is in the MIS department. And basically, the GIS is what is widely used by city staff, realtors, developers. We take the parcels, we overlay them on aerial zoning, flood mapping. It's a great tool, and for the cost, it's an outstanding return for the city.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions, comments from members of this committee? Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, thank you for coming. Just looking at the difference in price from to AppGeo. Are there like feature differences between the two platforms, or is it just...
They're very similar platforms. We started with a group called Main Street GIS many years ago. They built our system, and then they were purchased and bought out by CAI Technologies. So it's really, there's a huge cost in the setup of this. We benefited from Main Street, who, they were a small outfit and their pricing was really, really good originally. So that is sort of an advantage for the current vendor.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions from members of the council. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Deputy Director.
Good evening, Councilman.
So this GIS program, which, as you recall, I'm sure, I was probably one of the original proponents of implementing this program, and for a lot of the reasons, actually all the reasons you said, in addition to a lot more. This program has helped each of us here on the City Council. I know it's helped me on a lot more than one occasion in trying to get information to our constituents, where prior to having this program, it might take days or weeks to get this information, and it may not always be as accurate as one would hope. And if I recall, prior to this program, we actually had to have an employee manually doing these maps and manually doing these theories and measurements, et cetera, right?
That's correct. They were, the maps were hand-drawn twice a year, first as a draft and then a final map. And that was a full-time position.
Plus benefits.
Plus benefits.
And this tool averages us how much a year?
It's capped at $13,000.
$13,000 a year. And it's precise. And I believe in our conversation earlier, you had indicated that they are holding the pre-COVID costs for 3 years and a minimum increase for 2 additional years?
That's correct. In the final 2 years, it would go up by $900.
Each year?
For each of those years.
$900 for each year?
Correct.
Or for the both years?
Or actually, it was $800. I'm sorry.
Yeah. $800 for two, so it's $400 a year.
$800 each year, so $1,600 total.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next would be bid 2024-472, water purchase of one EV 150 vacuum excavator. This is found on page 44. Welcome back, Director.
Good evening, Terry DiPetrillo, Chief of Water. So the Water Division put a request out to purchase a Vermeer Old Roads EV 150 vacuum. What the vacuum does is it assists with emergencies. As you know, sand and salt get inside the gate valve boxes. Sometimes it, to prevent more road damage or property damage, it's we need that vacuum there on site to vacuum up that out quick and shut the valve down. Also, what it has is a flow master on this also. So we have some valves in the city that take 300 turns to shut off, and it takes 4 to 6 guys to shut these valves off, which is very time consuming. So that Lincoln Ave project that we discussed earlier with that change order, that main line was 309 turns. That took us 2 hours to shut off. We lost 50 million gallons of water because our vacuum was not working at the time. The current vacuum we have now was not the proper one. They bought it probably 15 years ago, and it's not commercial grade. And it ended up, the motor ended up dying. And just to replace the motor on that is going to be close to $10,000. We bought the unit for $25,000. So under the Sourcewell government contract, we found it's Vermeer that would work fantastic for the use. It also does a trenchless excavation. So we can go into your yard and we don't have to use the backhoe in certain instances, and we could just use the vacuum also on the road. It's very handy. It's a critical piece of equipment that we use. Just like the sewer department, they have that big vac truck, which is critical to it, you know, their operation. So the price, and it's just going to go on one-time purchase of $58,000 under budget code 84799.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
We have now come to the threshold where I will go and ask members of this committee, the council president, then the council, then the public, if they have any items they would like to call for discussion. I will just start quickly. I would like to discuss item number 19, found on page 89, bid 2024-467, removal and replacement of retaining wall at Sand Pond. Are there any items that members of this committee would like to discuss? While Councilman Gebhardt reviews, Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one. Item number 30 on page 121, the DPW purchase of park benches.
Thank you, Mr. President. Council President requests bid 2024-478, purchase of four compliant park benches on page 121. That is item number 30. Will do. Are there any items that members of the council would like to discuss? Councilwoman Travis. Councilwoman Travis would like to discuss item number 11, bid 2024-292, the planning of the city park dog park improvement program, found on page 58. Are there any items that members of the Councilman Lattisaur?
Thank you, Chairman. Item number 10, found on page 56, vehicle exhaust removal system maintenance.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisaur requests bid 2025-032, Warwick Fire Department vehicle exhaust removal system maintenance, found on page 56. Are there any other members of the council that would like to discuss items in the packet? You're still good. Are there any items that members of the public would like to discuss? I will stand on hold while members of the council and committee continue just to review the packets quick. All set? Thank you. So no more further calls. We will now go in order as they were requested. So we will start with item number 10. This was requested by Councilman Lattisaur. This is bid 2025-032, the Warwick Fire Department vehicle exhaust removal system maintenance. This is found on page 56. Good evening, Chief. Please identify.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department.
Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Chief. Sorry. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Chief.
Good evening.
Yeah, just loaded with thank yous tonight, I guess. Chief, I just want to be sure to put it on the record that the staff that will be doing whatever is necessary to do on here, they're all certified and licensed accordingly in Rhode Island, et cetera.
Correct. For this bid, all the staff that do the work are licensed by the state and they follow the prevailing wage laws.
Okay. Thank you. That's it, Chairman.
Thank you so much, Councilman. Are there any questions from members of the committee on item number 10? Questions, comments from members of the council on item number 10? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. The next item is bid 2024-292, Planning City Park Dog Park Improvement Program. This is found on page 58. I see our planning director come down. Councilwoman Travis, once the planning director identifies, you have the floor. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Director.
Hi, good evening. Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director.
I went by and I seen her look, they're doing a great job. I seen the paving and, you know, the marking on the paving, and it's a lot bigger where it went into the woods. Do we have an idea when it would be finished? I have people ask me that all the time.
I just talked to Dean today about that, and it's very close to being finished. 90%, I think, complete, he said. So I can get you an exact date tomorrow from him.
Sure. That's good. At least I got something to tell them anyway. Mm-hmm. Thank you. They're doing a great job.
Yep. A lot of credit goes to Dean for this project. He does great work for the city, you know, designing this stuff before it goes out to bid. So very talented guy.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further comments, questions for members of this committee? Further comments, questions for members of the council? Comments, questions for members of the public? Thank you, Director. The next item is item number 19, bid 2024-467, DPW removal and replacement of retaining wall at Sand Pond. This is found on page 89. Hi, Christy. Christy, since I called this, do you mind if I just do a quick opening?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. So when we, as a council, when we found out, I've been working with the Sand Pond for many years. They are very well-organized group of neighbors who truly care. And I'm so proud that they brag that this sand pond that is in the city of Warwick is in the top 10 of cleanest and clearest ponds in the Northeast region, is here in the city of Warwick in the community of Sand Pond. So when we found out we had the ARPA money, there was discussion where I went to Sand Pond and asked them what's something we could do. And they got together in true Sand Pond fashion and came up with a plan to rehabilitate a portion of the Sand Pond that was already there, but it was over 50 years old and it was weather-worn. So with all credit, we worked together as a team and came up with, and also I want to identify DBW. Director Eric Earls, his team planning, Director Kravitz and his team, that we also, and also I have to credit Bill Ficente, who would give us such valuable advice when it came to addressing this. And then finally, of course, our purchasing director who guided us through this program. This was something that a real strong but yet difficult undertaking, because we're dealing with a strong environmental cleanup that we noticed is a maintenance. And we got approval from DEM through the city, and I got to thank Mayor Picozzi and his staff, to make this area, revitalize it, so once again, more welcoming to the citizens of Warwick to use this area. So the plans were put forward, they were reviewed, a lot of time and skill was put into this, and the winning bid was put out. Within the bid, there was an understanding that there's a narrow path that has to go. So Christy, the winning bidder, as it was mentioned in the bid specs, they understand the path must be used to bring the materials to the pond.
Yes.
Thank you. And also the entire wall, the long wall, the entire section of the wall has to be replaced as mentioned in the specs.
Yes.
Thank you. I can't tell you how excited we are that this is happening, coming to fruition. And I got to say, I'm very proud that with my colleagues and all your support and the fact that the council president, the mayor and his administration were able to give us this ARPA money and use it for what it's intended for, and that is infrastructure, and this is definitely part of it. So I'll leave it at that. Are there any questions, comments from members of the committee? Are there any questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd just like to voice my complete agreement with you that this is money well spent, a true neighborhood gem. It's wonderful to see investments going back into Sand Pond to maintain something that's enjoyed by so many neighbors, both in Ward 3 and, if I may also say, in Ward 2. And I'd also like to agree with you in extending thanks to the administration for their wisdom in the process with the ward ARPA funds so that investments like this can be made. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman, and I'm not correcting you, I'm adding. They host, just for the record, this Sandpon organization hosts two annual events. One is the Spooky Pond, which is open to all residents of Warwick, and we have residents of non-residents of Warwick that participate. And they also host Pondapalooza, where they welcome citizens to come over and enjoy an afternoon and a day and to be introduced to Sandpon. I'm happy to say that our finance director, our purchasing director, I apologize, recently was explained to that, and I think she said she's going to make an effort to go by and check that area out. They're very welcoming. They're very welcoming and very proud, which makes this a very easy project to do. Thank you, Councilman, for the entire city to enjoy. Are there any questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Mr. Bouchard, one of the original Sand Pond posse, go ahead and there you go. Phil's just going to make sure the microphone's on and then just please identify when he verifies that.
Okay, thank you. So my name is Dave Bouchard. I reside at 173 Puritan Drive, and my home abuts the public right away. In this very unique setting, this 500-foot path that leads from Sand Pond down to where the beach is. So my wife and I moved there 52 years ago as our starter home. For 2 years, we were going to live there, and now we're there 52 years. We've seen a lot of things happen. One thing that hasn't changed is the retaining wall. The retaining wall was there when we arrived 52 years ago. It was done basically by the community. They scavenger together railroad ties, telephone poles, steel pipes, and they built this retaining wall. The men of the community and the ladies were there, I'm sure, providing refreshments for the hard work that was done. So it's been there for at least 52 years. And over the years, it has, like many of us, suffered the results of time and starting to fall apart somewhat, quite a bit of late. And so we approached Councilman Howe. Matter of fact, used this opportunity. Tim mentioned that he's probably not going to run for re-election. He's been at this for 8 years, and the first 2 years were a real learning curve. It was for him, and it was for me. Tim and I had a lot of very interesting discussions, so much so that Tim was, he came after me. I was enlisted reserve, and some years later, he was regular Army. But some of our discussions became so passionate that we had a password that if things got a little too hot and heavy, Tim could use his password and he'd shut me down. And he did a couple of times. But in the process of things, the community has always tried to work with the city. One really good example was removing trash from around the beach. And because of the condition of the path and the retaining wall, it was difficult for some of the employees of the city to get down to actually the beach area and remove the trash. So we collected and we met with Tim. Tim was actually in my backyard. It was in COVID. It was Mayor Solomon was the mayor at the time, and we devised a plan working with the city that we could get a container down there and the community would take the responsibility, work closely to get the rubbish up to the street so it could be taken away. That's worked really well. And one of the employees of the Department of Public Works, Paul Jutras, is the guy who makes it work. He's just a great city employee. Anytime he knows we're going to have Pondapalooza or one of our other events or it's 4th of July, Paul will either get ahead of the game and get the rubbish out of there, or we just give him a call, work together, keep the place clean, keep it open. So we were very encouraged when Tim was willing to work on this next step of using some of the ARPA money to replace the retaining wall. And we're very fortunate that we have in the community, we have one of the people is a registered professional engineer, civil engineer. works for the Department of Transportation for the state of Rhode Island. And she was instrumental in completing the application, which was needed to do this replacement of the retaining wall. And that was successful with Mayor Picozzi signed it, sent the application to DEM, and they've given us the opportunity to do this without getting a new permit. So with that said, we, as Tim just mentioned and it was affirmed, one of our central issues was that we wanted all of the railroad ties and all of the creosote soaked telephone poles to be removed. There was a little confusion about that because, in fairness to DPW, they had identified some on the western end of the beach that were still pretty solid. But we're happy to hear that we're all, once again, on the same page and that the work down there will complete, will include taking all the ties out of there, and we won't have to go back to DEM. So we're the community is very pleased, very comfortable working with Tim and the other people in the purchasing department, and of course Joanne, who's the clerk for the council. So we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dave. And if I may say, Mr. Bouchard, the DPW director is right over there in the purple shirt if you want to give some props out to the gentleman who works with your department. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Oh, I'm sorry, members of the public? I apologize. Thank you so much. Thank you. The last item is item number 30, bid 2024-478. DBW purchase of four ADA compliant bench park benches. This is found on page 121. Council President McAllister, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, Christy. No questions. I just wanted to point out these as part of the ARPA funds. One is going to go at Gorton's Pond by the fishing pier in a nice sitting area there. DEM stocked the pond this spring for the first time in a number of years. So it's a very busy spot, and people are really enjoying it. So this will add to that area. And the other two are going to go down in Arnold's Neck. And we just opened up a brand new swing set down there right on the water. Absolutely beautiful. Replace an old rundown playground. We took it out. We put up this brand new swing set that just they finished the work last week. Also an ARPA project that the council voted for. So thank you very much. So I just wanted to point out those two things. They're going to be adding to two gorgeous areas in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Questions from comments from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Hearing none, may I have a motion for acceptance of the full consent calendar of PCR 52-24?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. The next will be PCR 37-24. A resolution ratifying the memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Lodge Number 7 Fraternal Order of Police to add the Juneteenth holiday to the roster of paid holidays in the collective bargaining agreement. Council President.
Thank you. I docket this on behalf of the mayor, and I believe the chief of staff is here to speak on it.
Thank you. Chief, please identify.
Thank you, Chairman. Aaron McAsee, Mayor's Chief of Staff. If it's fine with yourself and the committee, I'd just like to speak broadly on the three PCRs that are before the committee tonight, which all have the same effect.
Absolutely. So the statement you're going to make applies to all three, but I will not call on you to make the statement unless there's specific questions to each one. Understood. Thank Very you, good. Chief. Please continue.
Thank you. So as the PCRs indicate, these would add a new holiday for city employees on Juneteenth. The holiday commemorates the day when news of the Emancipation Proclamation reached the furthest distance south in which individuals were enslaved by the Confederacy. It was made a national holiday by President Biden back in 2021. It became a state holiday this past year with the signature of Governor McKee. It'll be celebrated by the state for the first time this year in 2024. This action is desired by the administration to bring us into parity with the state's action. The action that this General Assembly and the governor took left it to each of the 39 municipalities to decide for ourselves how to move forward on Juneteenth, of whether recognizing it as a holiday for employees or not. Warwick has chosen to take this action. Sorry if I might note, you are in receipt of a fiscal note from Finance Director Schaefer, which bears out the cost of this holiday.
Yes, thank you so much. Questions for members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Chief.
Hi, Councilman.
Thank you for sharing the fiscal note and the background here. Was any consideration given to subbing out a different existing holiday rather than expanding the holiday schedule for all municipal employees?
To the best of my recollection, no, Councilman.
Are you aware of what other municipalities have adopted the broad additional paid holiday for all employees?
Yes, I know that the city of Providence has adopted this as an additional paid holiday for their municipal employees.
Okay. And do you know, did this come up in any collective bargaining work that has been ongoing or is already closed?
That I really can't comment on, Councilman. It wouldn't be proper to discuss conversations conversations with the bargaining units.
Okay.
But suffice to say that this is being an action we're requesting to take outside of a regular ratification of the contract.
Yeah, no, I have absolutely no issue with observing Juneteenth, celebrating Juneteenth. I'm just obviously I work in the private sector, and so we removed an existing holiday in order to make this a new one, so as to not take on the added cost and burden of yet another paid holiday. But okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Councilman.
Chief, in this fiscal note, it states that there's an expense of $55,055 if this is approved for retirees. Could you explain how, assuming I'm reading this properly, how retirees get holiday pay?
Certainly. So retirees per the contracts with the three collective bargaining units, they qualify for holiday pay under the same contract, under the same language as active employees. To provide an example, a firefighter on ladder one gets paid for a holiday. A retiree who's my grandfather's age will receive that same holiday pay in their retirement check. It's a stipulation of the contract. So if a holiday is added to the list of holidays for active members, it has to be added for retirees as well. There's no way around that.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
Pardon me, just a clarification from the finance director, just for fire and police one. So that's police officers hired before February of 1971 and firefighters hired before May of 1992.
So what I'm going to do is, since he just followed up, Councilman, you're still good with the answer? Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt.
Helpful clarification. Thank you. Do we have a list? Sorry to give you this on the spot. Do we have a list of all the paid holidays for city employees today?
Not currently on me, Councilman, but I'd be happy to provide that for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Councilman Foley.
Point of clarification. So the way I'm reading this is contracts prior to 1971 and then contracts prior to 1992 had this provision in them, and those retirees who were under those contracts, some 50 years old, are the ones receiving that benefit, not all retirees.
Correct, Councilman. Okay. It covers 237 beneficiaries.
You. Just making the point, you know, clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Please. Yes, please.
Hi, Ann Sheridan. Just to follow up with something on Councilman Gebhardt, do we know how many paid holidays the union representatives, union members have?
Sure. So just a note on that, it does cover all city employees, although it is in the collective bargaining agreements for the union. Personally, I accurate number can't come to mind right now. I'm trying to think of the holidays that I get off for the annual calendar, but I'd be happy to take a moment and just check on one of my devices or ask a colleague.
I believe the answer that you gave before, and just for the record, that you told the councilman you'd get him that information just so it would be accurate, or did I misunderstand that?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Please continue.
No, I understood that. I just thought okay, maybe he didn't know the days, but might know the number. I mean, pretty typically people know whether you get 10, 12, 15.
Understood.
So if I could just, my question is, do we know if the number of holidays that the members subject to the collective bargaining agreement relate to anything in the public sector, private sector, more private sector?
Pardon me if I...
Yes.
And my apologies, Ms. Sheridan, if you were asking a question, I did miss the end part of that. But we have, not including this action, 13 paid holidays.
13 paid holidays. So,
correct.
I don't think that, and I'll let you answer, but the follow-up question was, well, what are they compared to the private sector? And that would be hard to say, because that would be hard for us to say, but go ahead, Chief.
Sure, that would depend on the private individual business. Grant, I don't generally think that comparing a public sector employment package to a private sector employment package would be beneficial in that way. There are certain offerings that they offer you in the private sector that are separate from what we offer in the public.
Thank you. But I think that at some point the city needs to gather itself and to recognize that you are owners of company of some few thousand people that manage to support 70,000 people, and that maybe somewhere down the road we need to look at the employer-employee relationship, because most people don't get the benefits that we attribute to our staff. I've worked in private industry, I've worked in public industry. So I come from both places. And clearly when I was a municipal worker, I was treated with benefits that far suppressed anything that I could have gotten public and in private. And the private people that I work for were Fortune 500 companies and at the highest level of compensation, but they were shy compared to what I got in municipal. And I think it's going to behoove the next council to look at this with all of the new contracts coming up, because it's off the subject, but the budget's going to be straining next year with all of the things that we're going to have to come up with. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's a hard, I certainly, for one, know private sectors don't take Veterans Day, but I, for one, as a taxpayer, have no problem, or Memorial Day. I, for one, with my personal feeling and experience, have no problem with seeing the private sector get those days off as well. But I know many who don't get those days off. And that's unfortunate in my eyes. But are there any further comments, questions from members of the public? Thank you. May I have a recommendation?
Move favorable action on PCR 37-24.
I don't.
Okay. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Thank you. Next is PCR 38-24, a resolution ratifying the memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and the Rhode Island Council 94, Local 1651 of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, the AFL-CIO, to add the Juneteenth holiday to the roster of paid holidays in the collective bargaining agreement. This goes on the exact same discussion that we did on the previous one, so I'll just ask members of the committee, the council, and the public if they have any specific questions that have not been discussed as of yet. Any further questions from members of the council committee?
No.
Further questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in doing a quick analysis of Councilman Gebhardt's questions, which I think were very pointed questions. In doing some quick math regarding this item, so I'm just gonna refer to my comments as either 12 or 13 current paid holidays. I thought it was 12 with this being 13, but I could be wrong. So in rationalizing this, and now hearing that it's could potentially be 14, that's 3 additional weeks of essentially paid vacation. In addition to the 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is, that the staff already gets. When I do the quick math on this, this fiscal report states that if this additional holiday were to be added, it would be $232,455 for this year. Is that correct, Chief?
Correct, Councilman.
Okay. So that doesn't include any raises in the future. It doesn't include increased healthcare costs. And we already know this year there's a 5%, I believe it was, in the budget healthcare increase. It doesn't include any of the associated costs with payroll. So based upon $232,455 for this year, we're looking at $3,021,915 for just this year alone, for a total, and I'm basing it on 13 paid holidays if this passes, not 14, based upon 13. Where does this stop? We have $350 million that's coming up for schools. We have all of the other costs associated with operating the city. The contractual requirements, which are not factored into this going forward, etc. And I know in my ward, there's a significant amount of people who are just trying to live from paycheck to paycheck. They don't get 14 paid holidays. But yet, they're being asked to pay for another holiday. Where does it stop? And I'm grouping this up as holiday pay, not assigning a name or relevancy to any one of them. I'm talking about it as a business expense. We have 14 days, according to the chief of staff, of business expense that have to be borne by the taxpayers. Where do we stop the bleeding? Or when? Thank you.
Council Chairman, if I may.
Chief.
Sure. Just to respond to that, Councilman Lattiser, I would say that it stops when the federal government stops declaring additional national holidays. I mean, we're not, the administration is not recommending this just on a whim or for a holiday that's not a holiday of significance. I think there are legitimate arguments, which, legitimate debates we can have on the rationale for why it's an important national holiday to celebrate at the state, local, and federal level. But when it comes to the financing of it, I would just say that there are certain benefits and downsides to being a municipal employee. Sure, one of the benefits is the paid holidays, the family time off, health care benefits that members receive. One of the disadvantages oftentimes is the salary. We do have, if you look at the personnel supplement that was before the council, the annual salaries of some employees are significantly low to suggest that there might be folks who do live paycheck to paycheck. So I think we just should keep that in mind as well, that these are the folks we're talking about here.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Thank you. Yes, Councilman.
So I think that, as a community, we're expected to make our own independent decisions. And it does not necessarily mean that we need to rubber stamp what the federal delegation is proposing or doing. And you brought up a point. And I guess my question would be, if the administration wants to add an additional holiday, and I'll continue to refer to it as the holiday, then why didn't the mayor just do an executive order and make it happen, as opposed to sending this on to the city council to make a decision?
Sure. Well, first I would note that this is not, this is a recommendation from the administration that this is the direction the city goes in. As you know, I'm not an attorney or a municipal law attorney, so I don't know the legality of whether or not this is in the mayor's scope to declare a municipal holiday just by executive order. That would be a question for the solicitor's office. But the mayor believes strongly in bringing matters of high concern and importance before the city council, especially if it has a financial impact, which is why we're here tonight with this recommendation that we go down this path for the additional holiday.
I think we just got done through all this recently, saying that the charter allows the mayor to pretty much do what he wants to do. I think we just got done all of that.
Well,
but in any event, I think Councilman Gebhardt raised some very important questions. His question, one of them is, so I guess, where are you going to get this money? Tell me. Are you willing to retract a holiday in order to replace it with another one, which, by the way, has been done in the past? The federal government has changed or eliminated one of two holidays and combined them into one, if I recall correctly. So that's my question. Where does the money come from? And this $3 million a year is going to continue to grow contract after contract after contract. Thank you. And thank you, Councilman Gebhardt, for your questions.
But to answer the question, the $229,575 would be borne by the budget, just like any cost that arises during, additional cost that arises during a fiscal year. And as to these adding year after year, obviously, I've been with the city for the length of the Picozzi administration. And to my knowledge, this is the first time that the administration has moved to add an additional holiday as part of either the contract process or outside the contract process.
It increases the cost to the taxpayers, Chief. You can color it any way you want.
I'm not arguing otherwise, okay. Councilman.
Mm-hmm. But okay. It increases the cost. If this were to pass, if these items were to pass, I can assure you that I will be doing my best to make any cuts and all cuts that I can going forward to offset this cost on the back of the taxpayers. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. And I have another request from Councilman Kebhart. A charter can give a mayor, I just want to put my two cents in on one thing. A charter, the mayor does have the power in the charter, but I think this is the right way to go, because if we all remember, that is what the mayor has led by example on many occasions, where he's could have made a decision by the stroke of a pen and used government as it was meant, brought it to the legislative body, the other body of the government. And secondly, because it's contractual, it would be, to me, no different, which is what we are doing. We are adding an amendment to a contract, which requires, otherwise we'll be running into another scenario of why didn't this come before the council? So I'd like just to clear that up. But Councilman Gebhardt.
Just the last one, Chief, you made a comment earlier about, your councilman said, when does this stop? And you said, when the federal government stops declaring federal holidays. Just something to look at is that there are a number of holidays on our list already which are not federal holidays. So, you know, back to, I didn't elaborate on my initial point of the example of my company, where we felt it was important to honor and celebrate Juneteenth. And to make that a paid day off for our employees. However, we swapped out a different holiday that was either of less significance or that we did not think was as high a priority as this particular holiday and this day. So, I mean, that to me would be a more appropriate exercise than to add a 14th or a 15th paid day off for employees in the city. So,
thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that you, Chairman, as well as Councilman Gebhardt and Lattiser, all raised very valid points here. I'll just chime in briefly that I was taking a look over the three contracts. Pardon me, I know that we're going through each of these one at a time, but if I may, the contract for the police department provides for 14 paid holidays. I see that most of them are federal holidays, but I do notice that on the list in the current contract is Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, which each used to be, I believe, federal holidays, but were consolidated into President's Day. For the local AFL-CIO affiliate, I see that there are also 14 paid holidays. Actually, not necessarily 14 in any given year, because Election Day counts as one of those, as well as a half day on Christmas Eve. So, on average, I suppose, 13 paid holidays. And among them include some non-federal holidays, as well as there is President's Day, as opposed to two separate days of Lincoln and Washington's birthday. And then for the local 2748, our firefighters, I see that there are 8 paid holidays. So, based on how each of the holidays are listed out in each of the separate contracts, and the contracts are not specifically stating that everyone gets every federal holiday, I don't think that this would be just a matter of cleaning up the contracts to make sure that everyone is on the same page as to Juneteenth counting as a date that city workers are entitled to receive holiday pay. But instead, these resolutions would essentially act as giving away an additional day outside of the usual negotiation collective bargaining process. And I don't think it's appropriate for us to, under all of the circumstances with city finances, simply make a giveaway to city employees outside of that normal collective bargaining process. The city is in some tough financial condition. I think that it is, to echo Councilman Gephardt, I think it is important that we recognize Juneteenth as a city. I think that it would be a great thing for Juneteenth to be a paid holiday for city employees. But I think it's something that should go through the normal collective bargaining process. And perhaps the best solution here is a one-for-one trade-off with a different holiday. Thank you.
Sure. So, Chairman,
thank you, Councilman. Chief.
Sure. I would just disagree with the description of the city's financial state. As Director Schaefer and the mayor made clear in the budget message, we're in a strong, uncomfortable financial position. Regarding the process point, the contracts allow for these type of amendments to be made, and this is the right process to make those amendments outside of the collective bargaining process. As you know, the administration is currently in negotiation with two of the collective bargaining units, not a third. And then I would just disagree with the characterization of this as a giveaway. That's just not our position.
Thank you, Chief.
Chairman?
On your left. Hello, Councilman Sinapi. You'd like to weigh in.
Just to note that for those who may recall, we've had frequent issues when it comes to the collective bargaining agreements, specifically they have a bunch of names for this particular thing, but like backroom deal, side deal, et cetera, all things that the council was never made aware of, and then the council gets upset. So let's not forget of that past practice from administrations past, and that this is the opposite and basically what we've always wanted. Regardless of the merits of this particular request, the process that is playing out is what we've professed to want for years. So let's not forget that.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions, comments from members of the public? Question, comments from members of the public? Yep.
So it's Ann Sheridan.
Thank you.
If I could follow up on the question from Councilman Ricks, did you say that the fire department has less vacation days than the police department, than the third union?
Through the chair, if I may.
Thank you, Councilman. Yes.
I actually didn't specifically look at vacation days, sick days, anything of that nature. I was, in my very brief review just now, just looking exclusively at the paid holidays and taking a note that the firefighters receive 8 paid holidays. I'm seeing them listed in the contract as July 3rd, July 4th, October 31st, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. And I'm not going to list all of the ones for all of the other departments, but the quick way that they could be looked up is I'm looking at page 23 of the local Rhode Island Council 94 AFSCME AFL-CIO contract, and page 8 of the Warwick Police contract. And those respectively have 14 paid holidays for our police officers, and on average, as I explained earlier, 13 holidays for the city workers, local AFSCME affiliate.
Oh my, I would just expect that everyone would be on an equal footing, and that, you know, in negotiation, this firemen or city employees just as everyone else, and wouldn't everybody get the same number of, I mean, I know they bargain on this, but from the administration standpoint, you would think that would be a starting point where everybody is treated equally and starts out with the same benefit packs, similar benefits. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the public? Thank you. May I have a recommendation on PCR 38-24?
Recommend favorable action on PCR 38-24.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Any opposed? One. Thank you. Next is PCR 39-24, resolution ratifying the memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and Local 2748, International Association of Firefighters, AFL-CIO, to add Juneteenth holiday to the roster of paid holidays in the collective bargaining agreement. Are there any questions, comments that have not already been discussed from members of this committee? No. Questions, comments from members of the council on items that have not already been discussed? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apply all my comments previously to the first issue and this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Duly noted. Are there any comments, questions from members of the public on this item that have not already been discussed? Thank you. May I have a motion?
I move favorable action on PCR 39-24.
I will second it. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. The time is now 6:30, and the Warwick Finance Committee's business is closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is Public Safety, and that can take place at this time.